Network Marketing Times. And there were just a lot of good articles in there. And one of the articles that I really liked was about leadership styles. And it just really opened my eyes to say, wow, this is important for people to get, because I think sometimes we get stuck in our own leadership style and we just keep pounding our heads against the wall. How many of you feel that sometimes? You just keep hitting your head against the wall and it doesn't seem to be working. And one of the reasons this article was so great was because it opened up that concept that maybe we're just being stuck in our own leadership style, whatever that style is, because most of us have a leadership style. We might have complements of other types of styles, but we're basically just like personality quadrants, you know, and some of this has some delineation with personality quadrants as well. If you have if you come from a certain personality quadrant, you're going to be more of one leadership style than you will of another. No question that's true, and we can kind of talk. I'm going to add that to the outline today and kind of get you guys to answer the question, because you guys are all well aware of personality quadrants. But the idea is that, you know, you want to be able to look at these leadership styles and understand that they matter in how you do your business, and sometimes you're going to be more effective by taking on a different style in a specific situation or with a specific team than just promoting your own style that it comes naturally to you. We sometimes have to, some of you can say, well, Mary Jo, how do you do that? And I go, well, it's those times when you're pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. It's just like the same thing when Mary Jo goes out there, and most of you know my main quadrant in terms of personality quadrant, although it's not as dominant as it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, is the promoter quadrant or the inspiring quadrant. I'm the one that's that ball of energy and ball of fire and motivates people off the charts because they can't wait to be like Mary Jo or something, you know, and maybe that's the kind of, but there's a lot of problems associated with that quadrant. Well, I balanced myself with the other quadrants, and I already had some analyst me and definitely some of the controller in me as well, or in the disc analysis, the dominant and the cautious in me. The supporter quadrant was probably my least one over the years, because that's not that's something that just didn't come natural to my personality quadrant. So I worked hard on that as well. So we try to be in balance. Well, the same thing is true about our leadership styles. We want to be able to have, you know, be able to see the different leadership styles so that we can help support and implement those as well and utilize them. So style does matter, and what we're going to talk about today is understanding the way you go about leading. How do you go about leading? And how can you more effectively go about leading? Because effective leadership is what we're after. And effective leadership in one field or in one group, with one group of people that you have, you know, you might have a team of people in your organization in California, you might have one in Wisconsin, you might have one in Minnesota, you know, wherever they are. Your leadership style might not be effective with one group, so you need to shift and use a different leadership style with them to drive them as you would another group of people. So you need to look at how can I wear a different hat? How can I be a little bit more in going in a different arena than I am today? And I wish I would have had this training 10 years ago. Because it really would have helped me. As I was reading this article, this is why it turned me on so much, is I started thinking back to early stages of being in Manatech when all I knew to do is just try to survive and thrive and be who I was. It was all about being who I am instead of being the person that people needed me to be. And so it's a little different look at things. I took a quote out of the article. It said, the complexity of the marketplace prompts the importance of knowing your leadership style and discerning which style a team would be more likely to respond to. So that's what we need to do. We need to be more discerning, and know which one they will most readily respond to. So let's look at the six leadership styles that are brought forth in this article. Sorry if my voice is a little cracking, you know, spending 4 days talking to grandchildren and kids and family, and oh man, last night I could hardly talk on the plane back, but I still had grandchildren climbing all over me on the airplane, which is a blessing. The first style is charismatic, okay? And this is a leadership by infusion of energy. And these are people that, you know, they walk in a room and all of a sudden the entire room is energized. And you know who these people are. And some people would say, yeah, Mary Jo, that's you. And probably this is the one category where I would best fit. I love to, you know, it's people that are high energy people. They're smiling. They're just full of, you wonder, where did they get that source? This is also a group of people that are just absolutely energized by being around people. You know, sometimes Lydia even says to me, you know, I'll be getting ready to go to a meeting and I might not have had very much sleep, or I had a troublesome day, or I had a lot of things I tackled. And I'll look at her and I'll go, we're driving to a meeting I'm going to do. And I go, man, I don't feel like I'm in the right place to do this meeting. And she just looks and she laughs. And some of you would say, boy, that's pretty insensitive. She just laughs because she knows the minute I walk into that room and I see a group of people, I will be on fire. And she's absolutely right. It happens no matter what frame of mind I'm in, no matter what. I don't have to set myself. My adrenals go on fire around people. So I thrive in that kind of environment. And it energizes me. There are other people that will say, you know what, when I'm around a lot of people, it robs me of energy. In fact, Lydia is one of those types of people. When she was out in California with me at the house, when all those kids were running around and the family members in, she was like, Mary Jo, I'll see you later. And she'd leave because lots of people just drain her. She loves the one-on-one. She loves the small group atmosphere. But when she gets around tons of people and they're all like converging, it overwhelms her. And so we're all different. But this would be leadership by infusion of energy. And what are the positives around this leadership? The positives is that they can energize a room. There's a person that can come in and energize an entire room. And that's very positive, because what do you want to do when you're doing your Manatech business? You want to be able to instill belief, and you want to be able to get people to be energized and motivated and positive. You want to be that force in their lives. And this leader is also somebody that typically is a great vision caster, because when they talk, they're so driven by energy that other people capture the vision. They can stand up and talk about ending global malnutrition, and you just feel every ounce of their love and their heart in every word that comes out of their mouth, and you go, I'm all in. I think Sam Castor has that capacity. He's a vision setter. He can stand up and you walk out of, after you hear Sam, you just want to go out and conquer the world, right? What are the negatives about these leaders? Well, what happens when they exit the room? Right. It's always an, okay, where are they? Okay, so it's kind of like, what happens is the energy will dissipate when they exit the room, because now their energy isn't there to keep driving it. So it's almost like people become dependent on tapping into that source. So there's more of a dependency created. And what's the importance of network marketing? We want to be independent. You want to create independence in your organization. If you find yourself going the other direction, stop it. I found that to be true with my upline. When I was first in Manatech, my upline would sign her emails that she sent out, Love Mom. And, you know, after I started reading books about network marketing, I mean, like within the first 3, 4, 5 months of working with her, I sat down with her one time when I was visiting her, and I said, you know, Suzanne, I said, I've been doing all this reading and understanding of network marketing, and it always tells about the importance of building independence in your people. You know, and it was great. And Suzanne was one who hated feedback. I mean, she because she looked at feedback as criticism. She was not good at critique. And all I did was say, you know, when you sign all your emails, Mom, there's no greater sense of dependency than your mother, right? As a child, where's our first sense of dependency come from? Mom, right? We're totally dependent on Mom. When we're born, and I said, wow, don't you feel like maybe that's contrary? Oh, she went crazy. She got really angry with me when I gave her that suggestion. But 3 months later, guess what? She quit using Love Mom at the bottom of her email. So you don't want to create dependency. You want to interdependence. But when it's all about your energy, when you make your business all about your own energy, guess what happens? You're creating a sense of dependency. And when you're not there, what will happen? So these are the people that travel and they go to different places around the country. And when they go to the places they go, they have like 20 signups the week they're there. And then the next 2 months, they have no signups. What happens? Because everybody's feeding off of that ball of energy. So you have a problem with it dissipating after leave. The other issue with people that are typically high energy, people that do these kind of things, more charismatic, are the people they tend to be less into detail. So part of that I group in the personality quadrants, the inspirationals, great, they inspire a lot of people, but there's no system or track to run on or, step one, step two, step three. They don't spend enough time with details. And in Manitech, we see this. I put the word Manitech after each leader because I want to definitely tie it in. And, of course, I'm tying it as we go along. But it's important for you to see that we need energy, but we need balance with systems and the how-tos as well. So many times we see in Manitech, and I've seen in the past, where we get on new people come along and they grow really fast and they get maybe even hit presidential status. But 6 months later, they no longer qualify. And why does that happen? Because they burn out or they fry out or they can't be everything to everybody. They can't be carrying this energy to everybody all the time. So they didn't set up a structure in place to help people become independent and grow on their own and work on their own leadership styles to build a business. Because this isn't a style that you can grow your romantic business with or without being charismatic. Does charisma help? Of course, because it's like an attraction factor. But do you have to be extremely charismatic to be a Manitech presidential? Absolutely not. I can give you names of lots of presidentials, current presidentials, who are not very charismatic at all. They're more like the analyst types. They're more about details. They're more about, okay? So it's not a critical personality trait or quadrant or personality type or leadership style that's required. It just is a beneficial one as long as it's in balance. So then our second type of leadership style. So some of you that are on the call today, you can already say, am I the charismatic leader or not? Probably not. It might be a minor part of your personality, not the overriding one. So let's look at the second type of leadership style, technician. This is somebody that leads by their own behavior. They lead by their knowledge and their skills. In other words, what do they do? They would be a person that in Manitech would be, I am the best enroller. Your top enrollers, these are people that lead by example, right? They show knowledge and skill, and that's what develops their leadership style. People are attracted to them because they're knowledgeable, they're skillful, they lead by example. All right? They get very, now you could say, okay, if you look at Mary Jo, what is she? She leads by knowledge and skill as well. Very important to me, but that's part of my analyst side. That's part of my lawyering background. It's like I wasn't going to just be out there and be a ball of fire. I wanted to be able to lead by knowledge and skill. That's why I'm an absolute entrenched in reading and in improving myself because I want to carry the best knowledge, I want to carry the best skills, I want to be able to implant in my people and empower them to be the best they can be, and I need to do that by achieving a level of competence. So what is the positives behind technicians? They're prized in cultures where competence is a high in economic value. There are a lot of cultures that competence is high. There are other ones that creativity is high, right? Just open, wild creativity, individual style, but competence, becoming very good at what you do. If that's where it's prized, that's where they're good. It's leading by just being the best producer. We talked about that as well. So important. What are the negatives of this style? How is it replicated through the organization? In other words, how are you taking this style? If you're the best you can be because of your knowledge and your competence, some of these leaders who employ this kind of style can sometimes, and this came out of the article, can sometimes be a little like the Wizard of Oz, hiding behind the curtain, pulling strings, leaving everyone to wonder how it's happening. How does she do it? Right? So there's a distinction between being the best and leading the best. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that if this is your style about being very skillful and developing for yourself a high level of competence, you can lead by showing that, but you need to what? All you need to have to do, you've got to be able to what? Help develop that level of competence in everybody around you. And so it's not just about standing up and leading by example. It's about empowering other people to be their best and reach a high level of competence. So you want to make sure that you stay out of the secretive side. And some people, we see this in Manatech, absolutely, because some people, like, they're so proud of their own achievements that they fail to recognize the critical importance that of what network marketing is about. And network marketing is about, what's the magic word? Duplication. So these people in this category need to make sure they really get duplication. How do I build that same level of competence in other people? If you can't do that, you might achieve a high level, but you're never going to bring anyone along with you. So important that you build duplication of the competence, of the skills. So you need to not just develop them for yourself, but how are you training them and how are you implementing them throughout your organization? So start looking at that if that's something that's lacking in your organization. Number three is the strategist. And these are people that, you know, tend to be global and conceptual thinkers. These are the high and big thinkers. They think globally. They see the big picture, and then they go back and they can connect the dots. Okay, what are step one, step two, step three, step four to get to that big picture? So they understand the path to get there. They see the end destination, and they can build a track because they see the gap. They're very aware of the gap between where they are and where they need to be, and the step-by-step dots that need to get there. And some of these strategy people, and you'll see them sometimes, what happens to them is they sometimes, because they're so focused in the end result and they're so much into what is our reality, that they get stuck. And why do they get stuck? That's one of the downsides of this leadership style, because they go into overwhelm. How many of you go into overwhelm sometimes? Maybe this is exactly your leadership style. But Mary Jo, I see what it takes to get the presidential director. I actually see exactly the direction of how to do that. Here's an example of this kind of style. I think, and I'm not telling you this exactly because I just see it and visualize it with different people. Like Don Partridge, let's take for example. I love Don. He's terrific. He's a platinum presidential. I'm not sure how many people still qualify as that, but he reached that level, and that's an awesome thing. Okay, one of Don's mainstay, if you go and you listen to his trainings and his teachings, he has a strategy and he has the dots, connecting the dots. One of his main things Don keeps bringing up, and it's so simple and so doable, and I'm going to put the word doable in quotes. Okay, he sees platinum, and Don gets very frustrated because people don't, and he understands the path, but people aren't doing it. And what is the path? He says, you just keep building regionals. Help people get to regional. If you just establish one thing in your life, everybody who joins your organization, help them get to regional. What do you help that person do? Then he does the same thing. It's a duplication. If you just help each person get to regional. And for me today, it's I build a business unit. If I just help every person to get started, okay, let me get over here. You build 20 customers over here, and you find 4 associates. That's a business unit. Now I help these 4 associates build their business unit. If I help every one of my associates build a business unit, and they help their 4 associates build a business unit, how doable is that one little bite-sized chunk? It's doable, isn't it? But what happens is you get frustrated or overwhelmed because it's just the fact that people aren't doing it. If people were doing it, Don would be double platinum, triple platinum. If you guys were doing it, you'd be platinum. But you're not doing it. Why are we not doing it? Because it takes more than just being a strategist. It takes more than just telling everybody, right? Think about it. My leadership style might be all about strategy, and why am I not growing? Because what is missing? Maybe what you're missing is the energy. Maybe what you're missing is the team builder. Maybe it's getting the balance. Maybe it's the technician. It's about what are the absolute skills that need to be taught It's not just about a strategy. What skills do people need to have in order to accomplish the strategy? So you see how the different leadership styles need to be combined to affect the greatest possible results. In Manatech, it's so clear. Okay, number four is the team builder leadership style. And this is a leader that really gets roles in unity. They get that. They love to build teams. They can take a group of people and they can point out and pick out and say, oh my gosh, this person's a great, you know, and a lot of times they do this based on what? Personality quadrants. This person's a great dominant person. They're kind of the guy who can, you know, dictate what's going to happen. They'll be in charge. You put them in charge of a meeting and it's going to turn out wonderful. Da, 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 all these kind of things. Here's my analyst. They're the ones that are going to be the ones, or the cautious people. They're going to be the great people to train the comp plan. Let's implement them in this area to do the comp plan. Here's my I quadrant, my inspirer. I want him on the team because I need that source of energy. I need that thrust of just wild on fire craziness, the one that's going to, you know, attractor factor, come in creative type. Oh my gosh, they're going to be creative, come up with new strategies, new things. And then I got my supporter group over here. This person is my supporter. They're going to be the great. They're going to be the greeters at the doors. They're going to be the lovers. They're going to be the people that just make everybody feel warm and welcome. And they're going to show up and they're going to look like and be like exactly what they are, the heart. The heart just arrived in the room. And no matter what they're assigned to do, they're going to say yes, because their biggest fault is they don't know how to say no, but we can get them to do whatever we need them to do to help support this team, because they are number one in relationships. They're not going to do anything to hurt a relationship. So they build teams. This leadership style is about roles and team building, and that's great. And the positives is that groups recognize you can't just assemble any group of people and think you have a team. If you put four promoters together, four eyes together, you have nothing. You just have a phenomenal ball of fire, right? What you need is you need to build teams. You need to build team. These leaders are able to discern different people's strengths and find roles for them to play to align the individuals into one cohesive group. The negatives about the team builder style is the leaders can become paralyzed in the presence of conflict. So if they have conflict, these people have no clue what to do. They just paralyze, because it's not supposed to be that way. They also become paralyzed in the absence of unity when people start, you know, falling by the wayside. There's not oneness around them. They fall apart because they're so driven by unity and roles. So team building for Manatech, team building is always a gift, always a need, because for you guys who want to grow your business, there's no way that you're going to become platinum presidential by staying in Dallas, Texas, if you're living in Dallas, or whatever your local community is. You need to start looking out, reaching out, and finding other areas around the country, around the world, right? We want to have a global business, and I would navigate global so easy. Can we do this? Oh, my gosh. We should be all reaching out globally to build our businesses. We want to be present in many different countries, right? It's just like they're all next door to us, so there's no reason for us not to be global. So we can build these global businesses, and by doing that, we want to make sure that we have teams in different areas. If we have solo people, what's going to happen to our business in Australia? It's going to die off. Our business in the Ukraine, it's going to die off. Our business in Mexico, it's going to die off. We need to build a team, help to build a team there and balance the people. So team building is critical in Manatech as you go into different arenas, because you're not going to be able to be there all the time, so you want to have the strength of team leadership there. If you don't have a strong leader that's going to be able to build do themselves, you want to build a team of people there to make sure that it prospers and grows. Okay, so that's team building. We all want to be great team builders, because it's going to help people not to, here's another reason why I love team building, because Manatech is network marketing, and network marketing is very different than corporate America, because people get into it and they go, oh my gosh, I have to be everything to everybody. Did you ever hear that thing? Yeah, you have to be you have to know the comp plan. I mean, you have to. You don't have to do anything. You feel like you have the pressure of needing to know the comp plan, needing to be the inspirer, needing to be the one who is, you know, in control and management. You need to be the person who's the supporter, who has a heart and can love on people all the time. I mean, it just is this massive concept of, oh, how can I fit in all these quadrants at the same? Well, you don't need to be all that. It's nice to be a little bit balanced, but, you know, if you find people in your organization that you can form a team with, you can have all those roles in your organization. And so that's why team is important in management. But it's also important to have the ability to diffuse conflict and have the availability, have people around you that can do that and surround yourself with that group and show some of the other leadership styles that we've talked about. Number five, manager. This is a leader by systems. Managers focus on doing things and doing them right. They love processes and systems. This sounds more like your analyst quadrant or your cautious quadrant, right, when you talk about personality quadrants. They love processes, systems, and they're designed and understood so that current operations function consistently. They have a profound influence on the people around them, right, these managers. So manager style, it's a leadership style. I manage my people. I manage them. I give them systems. I give them processes. I get them to do the things that and when you manage people, some of these people are not called leaders. That's why organizations, corporate organizations, have downline managers, but the CEO is not a manager. Why? Because he needs to be the creative thinker. Managers is taking something Manatech puts out there and implementing it in your downline. Is that important? Absolutely. What are we doing today in Manatech like that? We're implementing XFMs. We're implementing Navigate. We're implementing all these things, these new concepts that are coming out. We're implementing them in our organizations. So that's part of manager. That's part about leading in a manager style, right? But we also want to make sure that we're not losing the sight, the vision. We want to be the visionary. We want to talk about Give for Real. We want to talk about ending global malnutrition. We want to talk about people being creative in their own rights. Because sometimes when you do just a process system, if you're just purely a manager, you're focusing more on the XFMs than you are on results. You want to be able to have dream boards. You want to have people have goal setting. You want to have people doing, you know, you can't avoid that, okay? So you want to make sure that all of that's being implemented as well, and the energy behind that and the vision behind that for what we can create. And then the final one is the director position, and this is an intriguing one because the first story in the article was about this style. And he said, the story went, that Alan rose through the ranks of the military with great ease and retired young with a high rank in the military. Properly prepared for his transition into civilian life, he joined a network marketing company with a wellness company in the Midwest. So I don't know which one that is, but that's what Alan did, right? So he came out of the military, retired young with a high rank, and he was one of these directors, right? He was led by control, because that's what the military teaches. Why is that critical in the military? Because when you're in charge of a platoon and you're walking into danger, you better be in control. You don't want creative thinking and people going out and just doing their own thing. You want to be in control, in charge. Everybody's got their roles. They know exactly what role they need to play because you need to operate as a fluid unit. That's critical. Well, here he comes into network marketing, and what happened to him? Everybody, all of his upline was so excited about his leadership and his performance and his rank and his prior exit. They said, man, with his leadership performance in the military, he's going to be perfect in this. He's going to be able to build this incredible organization and lead, guide, and direct him like no other man. Within months, it became obvious that the new members of Alan's team were not responsive to the command and control leadership style he was comfortable exercising. Why? Because network marketing doesn't work that way. You can try to be that militaristic command and control guy, and you're great about stomping out chaos, and you're great about crisis management. But what are you horrible at when you have that dictatorial style? You're stifling other people stepping up into leadership because you're always in control. You quash a lot of times creativity and new ideas for the sake of making sure conformity exists. And where do we see this in Manatech? A lot of times we see this, I can tell you about other people coming into our organization, like people from Amway, where they had all these rules and regulations and you stayed and you only did what your upline told you to do and it was implemented from top down and you never did anything with cross-line, you never interacted with people that were doing something different. So you never had the freedom and flexibility of being creative in your own rights. And most of these leaders that came from other organizations are gone today. I looked around after I read this and I was looking around and thinking to myself, all the people that are left in Manatech, people that kind of went by the wayside when chasing other rabbits right? I said to myself, I said, wow, a lot of those people that bounced around, they're still bouncing around because they want to be in control and they want to market and da-da-da-da-da. You know, we at Manatech are most about what? I'm going to tell you who we are. You know, the neat thing about Manatech is that our company is about love. Our company has a passion and compassion like none of that I've seen. I mean, we truly are convicted about ending global malnutrition. So we want people to be the best they can be, no matter where they are. We don't want to control every one of their actions. We want to provide them a skeleton, a system. We want to buy them a direction and a step-by-step approach. But always we want them to understand that their personal touch is absolutely critically important in any and every way. So we build the value of the human being and the creative aspect and you becoming the best you can be. That's what it's about. It's not about you becoming the best military general controller. It's about you becoming the individual that you are and being the best you can be, accomplishing it through acknowledging the style that you have and the ability for you to implement other ways to be able to create results, because perhaps yours isn't always going to be the most effective. So being open to hear is important. Being able to be a critical thinker is important. In the military, they don't want you to be a critical thinker. They want you to do exactly what it is. Their directive style is don't be a critical thinker, just do exactly what I tell you. That's not what we are about. So understand that all, does everybody see these six distinct leadership styles? And how about feeling about which one, where do you fit in these styles, and which styles can you start utilizing to perhaps implement more effective ways of you running your organization or even interacting with people that you already have in your organization? So what's most important for you to know? What's most important is to know that there are circumstances where certain styles flourish and where others, they will flounder. And that can be true just about your own network marketing business. There are certain personality quadrants, certain areas in the country, certain people you're working with where your leadership style is not going to be necessarily the most effective. One goal that you and I could choose to have is let's be masters of all of these. Can we go out and be masters of all of these? I'm going to suggest not. I don't think it's possible today. I think it's too difficult to be a master of all of these. If we could master all of these leadership styles, we could shift in and out of them as rapidly as we came across circumstances which dictated that need, and that would be a really cool thing. But we can't. So don't go after that, because you're going to spend the next 6 years of your life trying to conquer that instead of building an incredible business. And it's not just about you building an incredible business. It's about you building an incredible business that helps other people have incredible lives. And that's how I look at my. Why do I want to drive my Manatech business more than anything? Because I want other people to have incredible lives. I want other people to have incredible sources of income, alternative streams of income for their lives, because I know what a difference it can make in their lives. So that's what's important to me. And I want to save children. I want to support Sam. I want to support Sam in really fulfilling the vision that he has, which is ending global malnutrition. So what should our goal be? Not to master all leadership styles, but here's some goals that were set in the article. Know your own style. So really be familiar with who you are. Get in your own skin and understand who that is. If you don't understand that, I'm going to suggest you're not going to be effective at all. You might get to presidential even not knowing who you are, but you're not going to stay there very long. But know your own style and function in an environment where that style will flourish. And I think all styles can have a positive impact. But some of the, like, director style is going to be the toughest. That'll always be the toughest in network marketing, always. Know also the shadow side of your style. In other words, what are the negatives of my style? So that you can complement them so you don't undermine your own effectiveness, right? You don't want to be undermining your own results. And number three is know how to shift into the needed style for that certain team, for that certain time, and use it effectively. So how can I shift into a different style? How can I take on, how can I become more of a strategist? How can I take on more of an implementation person, a nuts and bolts guy, how-tos guy? How can I do that and effectively in the necessary times for me to do that? Because that's critically necessary as well. We need to be the trainers. We need to be the teachers. We need to be the structure people. We need to be able to, you know, teach people strategies. We need to be creative. We need all of these things to really support us. So when do I need to shift into them? What does that look like in my strategy and working with different teams in different places? And I concluded the outline today with two great quotes. One of them is this. It says, as the expression goes, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then the whole world looks like a nail. So when your only tool is that you're some charismatic leader, the whole world's going to look like, oh my gosh, I can energize the world and they'll do whatever I tell them to do, which is totally false. We get a misperception of the world when we are what? When our only tool becomes a hammer. The greater group of tools we have, the more realistic viewpoint of the world we have. And the second quote is this, effective leadership in today's culture requires a team approach. And teams require diverse leadership styles. By employing the best leadership style for you and also knowing when to adapt to other styles, you can effectively lead your team to the top. And is that your goal, to lead your team to the top? Absolutely. And I think with the tools here today, people, in this article, not only can you shift and become the best you can be in terms of leadership styles and adopting them in different arenas, but also in your ability to work with other leaders in your organization who you can now clearly look at and say, wow, that person is a technician. How do I help them be more of a charismatic leader? How do I help them take on more of a strategist role? How can I support them in being a better team builder? So you can start seeing the advantages you have with acknowledging these six leadership styles and helping people be better leaders that you already have in your organization. Not just yourself, but helping others. Okay, people, that's it for today. Any questions? Any comments? Did anyone learn anything? Quiet group today. Everybody's
on mute. There are such different styles that I knew it, but I didn't know it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think what you're saying, Anita, is that you saw it in people, but you didn't really quantify it. You weren't like trying to, you know, like say, oh, that's more of a technician style, that's more of a kit, right? It was just kind of like, that's just their personality. We kind of threw it off as personality types versus looking at it as, hey, those are really distinct leadership styles. How can I learn from that and be a better leader myself, right?
Right. Great leader.
Me too. I'm all in there with you, Anita, on that one. Anyone else? Okay, great, people. Good. Thanks for being on the call today. I know we had a great group. I love being back in town. I can't wait to get this going and really driving the business even further. And look forward to talking to all you guys next Monday. Okay, everybody. Love you all. Talk to you soon.